What about LGBTQ individuals?
What about them? They're people. Equal justice under law.
Does that refer to sexual orientation as well?
Trump is peppering his cabinet, his Supreme Court appointments with people who want to assert that there is a religious law that supersedes civil law. And that is, to me, the
real
threat.
That's the end of America.
To This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Taiwan's top court tackles marriage equality, Queensland dethrones the gay panic defense, and U.S. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch glides around confirmation questions. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Frances O'Brien.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending March 25, 2017. Taiwan's highest court held historic hearings this week on whether or not the island's civil code unconstitutionally defines civil marriage as only between one man and one woman. Authorities in the pro-queer capital city of Taipei have joined a gay couple in the lawsuit that began in 2013 when activist Chi Chia Wei's attempt to register their marriage was rejected. Taipei's government says it needs national clarity from the Council of Grand Justices on the recognition of same-gender couples. Taiwan's legislature approved the first draft of a bill to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples in December. But a second reading isn't scheduled anytime soon. The possible advance toward marriage equality has fueled a backlash by conservative religious groups on the island. There have been heated pro and con demonstrations for a number of months. A decision by the Council of Grand Justices is expected to be announced within 2 months. A ruling that the heterosexuals-only marriage laws are unconstitutional would take the political heat off lawmakers by essentially forcing them to enact a marriage equality law. That would make Taiwan the first in Asia to open civil marriage to same-gender couples.
The wheels continue to torturously turn in Australia over civil marriage equality. Several prominent executives from the nation's business community recently signed a joint letter to Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull calling for a free vote in Parliament on the issue. The 20 co-signers included openly gay Qantas Airlines CEO Alan Joyce. But the Turnbull government is standing firm in opposition to a free vote. Immigration Minister Peter Dutton, who personally opposes equality, has now proposed instead a national mail-in vote on the issue. The government's effort to pass a bill to hold a required in-person national vote failed in Parliament late last year, and critics have assailed the postal proposal as even more preposterous. Every public opinion poll shows overwhelming support in Australia for opening civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. But Liberal Party PM Turnbull promised his farther-right National Party coalition partner that his government would only allow marriage equality to be enacted by a popular vote and that he would never allow government MPs to vote their conscience on the issue. Turnbull could lose his job if he breaks that promise.
But Queensland lawmakers this week passed legislation to repeal the section of the Australian state's criminal code that lowers the sentence for crimes committed in the heat of passion caused by sudden provocation from a homosexual advance. Such statutes are commonly known as a gay panic defense. Activists have been campaigning for removal of the provision in Queensland since the brutal gay bashing murder of Wayne Rux in 2008. His killers were convicted of manslaughter instead of murder after they used the gay panic defense to claim that they reacted so violently because Rux had grabbed one of the men's crotches. One of his attackers was released after serving just 4 years of a 9-year manslaughter sentence. Queensland Attorney General Yvette Diath said that eliminating the gay panic defense sends an important message that discrimination is not acceptable and that we value the LGBTI community. South Australia is now the only state in the country to allow a gay panic defense.
In U.S. news, 38-year-old Alphonza Watson was murdered this week in Baltimore, Maryland. She became the 8th trans woman reported murdered in the country this year. Witnesses told police that they heard someone yelling for help. Then they heard gunshots and saw two men getting into a dark-colored vehicle and speed away. A police spokesperson told the Baltimore Sun that they don't have a lot to go on. Her mother, Peggy Walker, called Alfonza the sunshine of our family. She was a very caring, passionate, fun person to be around, Walker said, always in a talkative and playful mood. She said Alfonza, who went by the nickname Peaches, worked at an upscale retailer in Virginia, where she was one of its best salespeople. Last year was the deadliest on record for trans people in the U.S., with 27 known homicides. Most victims, and all eight so far this year, were women of color. The real number is probably much higher because police or media may have misgendered some victims or their deaths were not reported at all.
Trump's Secretary of Energy, Rick Perry, took time away from his busy schedule regulating the U.S. nuclear industry this week to complain about the groundbreaking election of openly gay Bobby Brooks, an economics junior at the flagship campus of Texas A&M University in College Station, as student body president. Brooks became the first out candidate to win that post. He promised his 60,000 constituents to improve student services and increase diversity and inclusion campus-wide. A student judicial court gave the victory to Brooks as the runner-up candidate after the leading vote-getter was disqualified for failing to report a campaign expense. Perry, an A&M graduate, charged in an op-ed in the Houston Chronicle that a diversity agenda tainted the election. A spokeswoman for A&M told reporters that all the student body election rules were followed and that Perry's characterization doesn't reflect the facts. Mark Jones, a Rice University political science professor who's followed Perry's career since before he became governor of Texas, told the Chronicle that it was certainly not something you expect a cabinet secretary to weigh in on, or even a governor, and that it was probably not the smartest move.
The Osage Nation has become the latest Native American tribe to open marriage to same-gender couples. Tribes are treated as sovereign nations by the U.S. government, so the June 2015 Supreme Court marriage equality ruling doesn't apply to couples on Native lands. The Osage Nation claims some 20,000 members, mostly in the state of Oklahoma. The move to open marriage to gay and lesbian couples was approved by a 53% vote in a first-ever referendum on amending tribal law. There are more than 550 Native American tribes in the U.S., and only a handful have specifically enacted marriage equality, including the Cherokee Nation and the Cheyenne and Arapaho tribes. Some other tribes have simply decided that they'll follow the laws of the states in which they're located.
Elsewhere, Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin signed a bill this week that will allow student groups at public high schools and universities to discriminate against potential LGBT members based on religious grounds. It passed in both houses of the legislature with broad bipartisan support and is part of a growing movement across the country to enact laws that allow religious belief to trump civil rights. A similar law is already on the books in Kansas.
But Virginia's Democratic governor, Terry McAuliffe, vetoed two bills passed by the Republican-dominated state legislature that would have allowed taxpayer-funded agencies and service providers to discriminate against same-gender couples based on religious or moral objections. Mississippi approved a similar measure last year, but a federal judge put it on hold after ruling that the law was unconstitutional. The case is under review at the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals.
A Tennessee Senate committee rejected an obviously anti-trans North Carolina-like measure this week that would have required people to use sex-segregated public facilities based on the gender listed on their birth certificate.
And the Republican-controlled Oklahoma Senate also voted against a bill like North Carolina's HB2 that would have prohibited cities and towns from enacting ordinances that protect LGBT people from discrimination.
In other news, the controversial Disney live-action movie Beauty and the Beast has broken box office records for the biggest opening of a film in the month of March, taking in more than $350 million worldwide so far. The so-called controversy centers on the possible gayness of LeFou, the film villain's sidekick. LeFou, who's played by Josh Gad, briefly dances with another man during a raucous bar scene, and the film's out director, Bill Condon, has described LeFou's crush on his boss as subtly gay. Russia slapped an adults-only rating on the movie because of its gay propaganda. But when Disney threatened to pull the film from Muslim-majority Malaysia after censors planned to delete the supposedly gay scene, officials relented and an uncensored Beauty and the Beast is now wowing audiences across the country. However, the film was pulled this week from theaters in predominantly Muslim Kuwait because of its so-called gay content.
And finally, another less subtle queer character debuted on movie screens this week. One of the five main characters in the reboot of the 90s TV show and film series, Power Rangers, struggles with her relationship with another girl. Director Dean Israelite says that Trini, the Yellow Ranger, eventually comes to terms with her sexual orientation and is accepted by all the other characters. David Yost, who played the Blue Ranger in the 1990s and left the series after facing harassment over his sexuality, applauded the development, saying that, "I think so many people in the LGBTQI community are going to be excited to see that representation." But apparently not LGBTQI people under the age of 18 in Russia. Like Beauty and the Beast, the Putin regime has also made Power Rangers adults-only viewing because of its gay propaganda.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 25th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Frances O'Brien.
It began with hope, it epitomized change, and it ended with an unprecedented challenge. This Way Out follows Obama's rainbow reign, from the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, to the Supreme Court marriage equality victory, to his anti-discrimination executive orders, and his call for renewed commitment in the future, all in a new collection of historic feature reports available now on CD.
We coach Little League in the blue states. And yes, we've got some gay friends in the red states.
I am a fierce advocate for equality for gay and lesbian Americans.
We are not a nation that says, don't ask, don't tell. We are a nation that says, out of many, we are one.
I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Welcome to the White House. This is the 8th Pride reception that we will celebrate together.
I don't think it is something that will be reversible.
Obama's Rainbow Reign. Get this special CD production, available only at thiswayout.org.
Trump administration U.S. Supreme Court nominee Judge Neil Gorsuch showed off plenty of fancy legal footwork at his confirmation hearings before the Senate Judiciary Committee the week of March 20th. However, the man chosen to replace the ultra-conservative Justice Antonin Scalia refused to tip his hand on matters of concern to women, workers, racial and religious minorities, LGBTQ people, and other groups seeking protection from the courts. National queer organizations, including GLAAD, Lambda Legal, and the Human Rights Campaign, have joined the list of civil rights advocates opposing Gorsuch's confirmation. Democrats on the Judiciary Committee pressed him hard to reveal his judicial philosophy, but most of his answers seemed designed to placate rather than illuminate. This exchange with Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois is but one example.
Let me ask you this specific one. It was 1993, and you were at Oxford, and this is when you believe you first met this professor. Professor Finnis was tapped by the then Colorado Solicitor General, Timothy Timkovich, to help defend a 1992 state constitutional amendment that broadly restricted the state from protecting gay, lesbian, and bisexual people from discrimination. During the course of the deposition which he gave in support of that effort, Finnis argued that antipathy toward LGBT people, specifically toward gay sex, was rooted not just in religious tradition, but Western law and society at large. He referred to homosexuality as bestiality in the course of this as well. Were you aware of that?
Senator, I know he testified in the Romer case. I can't say sitting here I recall the specifics of his testimony. or that he gave a deposition?
I guess the reason I'm raising this is a man who apparently had an impact on your life, certainly your academic life, and I'm trying to figure out where we can parse his views from your views, what impact he had on you as a student, what impact he has on you today with his views.
Well, and I guess, Senator, I think the best evidence is what I've written. I've written over, written or joined over 6 million words as a federal appellate judge. I've written a couple of books. I've been a lawyer and a judge for 25 or 30 years. That's my record. And I guess I'd ask you respectfully to look at my credentials and my record. And some of the examples I've given you are from my record about the capital habeas work, about access to justice. I've spoken about overcriminalization publicly. Those are things I've done, Senator.
And what about LGBTQ individuals?
Well, Senator, there are. What about them?
Well, the point I made is
they're people.
Oh,
and
of course.
You know,
but what you said earlier was that you have a record of speaking out, standing up for those minorities who you believe are not being treated fairly. Can you point to statements or cases you've ruled on relative to that class?
Senator, I've tried to treat each case and each person as a person, not of this kind of person, not of that kind of person, a person, equal justice under law. It is a radical promise in the history of mankind.
Does that refer to sexual orientation as well?
Senator, the Supreme Court of the United States has held that single-sex marriage is protected by the Constitution.
The concerns raised by Senator Durbin were picked up later in the confirmation hearings by Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, who tried to get answers by asking Gorsuch about the mentor whose shoes he would be filling.
You are a self-professed originalist in your approach to constitutional interpretation. For example, you wrote, and I quote, "Judges should instead strive, if humanly and so imperfectly, to imply the law as it is, focusing backward, not forward, and looking to text, structure, and history to decide what a reasonable reader at the time of the events in question would have understood the law to be." Now, do you agree with Justice Scalia's statements that originalism means there is no protection for women or gays and lesbians under the Equal Protection Law because this was not the intent or understanding of those who drafted the 14th Amendment in 1868?
Senator, first of all, a good judge starts with precedent and doesn't reinvent the wheel. So to the extent there are decisions on those topics, and there are, a good judge respects precedent. That's the first point. Second point I'd make is it would be a mistake to suggest that originalism turns on the secret intentions of the drafters of the language of the law. The point of originalism, textualism, whatever label you want to put on it, what a good judge always strives to do, and I think we all do, is strive to understand what the words on the page mean. Not import words that come from us, but apply what you, the people's representatives, the lawmakers, have done. And so when it comes to equal protection of the laws, for example, it matters not a whit that some of the drafters of the 14th Amendment were racists, because they were, or sexists, because they were. The law they drafted promises equal protection of the laws to all persons. That's what they wrote. And the original meaning of those words, John Marshall Harlan captured them in his dissent in Plessy. And equal protection of the laws does not mean separate and advancing one particular race or gender. It means equal. As I said yesterday, I think that guarantee, equal protection of the laws guarantee in the 14th Amendment, that it took a civil war for this country to win, is maybe the most radical guarantee in all of the Constitution and in maybe in all of human history. It's a fantastic thing. And that's why it's chiseled in Vermont marble above the entrance to the Supreme Court of the United States.
Although the judge told Senator Feinstein that equality is equality, Senator Al Franken of Minnesota wondered if Gorsuch's support for the onslaught of state-level anti-marriage equality laws in 2004 told a different story.
How have your views of marriage equality changed, if at all, since the 2004 election?
Senator, my personal views. If I were to begin speaking about my personal views on this subject, which every American has views on, would send a misleading signal to the American people that my
personal... It's settled law.
It is absolutely settled law. There's ongoing litigation about its impact and its application right now. And I cannot begin to share my personal views without suggesting mistakenly...
Okay,
people.
Can I move on to something else?
Well, if
then?
I might
Thank
finish,
you. I understand. You've given a version of this answer before, so I understand. I understand.
Gosh, gosh, golly, gosh, golly, gosh, gosh, golly, gosh, golly, gosh.
Smiling faces sometimes. They don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof.
There's an all-important point left out of Judge Gorsuch's gosh and golly-filled testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee. The ongoing litigation he referred to seeks exemptions to marriage equality laws based on so-called religious liberty. Andy Hum and Ann Northrup worried about that during this week's edition of Gay USA.
I watched as much as I could, a stomach of the Neil Gorsuch hearings. He's not saying anything.
Yeah.
But he is saying some things about who has influenced him in
mm-hmm.
life. And gosh, golly, he says all the time. of course, we all knew his role model was Scalia, who was the biggest anti-gay bigot on the court in the last 50 years.
I don't think he had any real role models.
He said his mentor was Justice Byron White, who also was from Colorado, as he was.
Nonsense. Well,
and he clerked for White.
Yeah.
Byron White wrote the Hardwick decision saying it was okay to ban sodomy in the United States.
I think Neil Gorsuch has much too big an ego to really have mentors or heroes.
Well, he hung out with Scalia. We saw them hunting together.
Friends, certainly.
He called Paul Clement, who argued against same-sex marriage over the last couple of years in the federal courts, a dear friend. And he was a protege of this guy named John Finnis, who was a renowned Catholic scholar, who compared same-sex relations to bestiality and described abortion as the approved killing of vulnerable, innocent human beings. So this is who he is.
Well, Gorsuch at Oxford in 2004 wrote a dissertation saying there was no right to same-sex marriage.
Right.
And this, by the way, is after it had been legalized in Massachusetts.
A former student reported that, who took his class, said that he said that many women manipulate their employers for maternity benefits and that law firms should ask female interviewees about their pregnancy plans in order to protect their companies.
Don't just believe us. Lambda Legal Defense calls him more recklessly conservative than Scalia. The National Center for Lesbian Rights refers to his dangerously radical view of religious liberty. And he, of course, is the one who said that activists like those pushing for gay marriage rely too much on the courts and should be taking their case to the legislature or the people.
41 Democrats could filibuster him, but the Republicans have said that they will end the filibuster rule on Supreme Court nominations, as they were ended by the Democrats on federal judgeships and cabinet appointments.
So I found it very hard to watch him because I found him so smarmy, so oily, so condescending, pretentious. I thought he was completely untrustworthy in everything he said. But he wasn't like someone who just sits there and says, I'm sorry, I can't talk about that. You know, I'm going to be a judge. I just can't talk about it. He's like a guy who's still trying to prove he's the smartest guy in the room. And like, he can manipulate the process. And it wasn't an honest exchange. Right. And he was asked about a couple of LGBT issues and will you treat LGBT people equally? Oh, yes.
No, I treat everybody the same. That's all he would say. He couldn't really talk about gay people.
No, but he said, I treat everybody the same.
Every person who comes to the court. Yeah, yeah. But, and you're not going to have your marriage rights anymore. They alluded to the fact that the courts are considering ways of not recognizing marital benefits for gay couples, and I can't comment on that because I'm going to end those.
Well, he's also the person who wrote on his court level the Hobby Lobby decision.
Yes.
And that's all about extending these religious freedoms to allow people to discriminate. And that is the core of what we should be looking at. And Trump is peppering his cabinet, his Supreme Court appointments, whatever, with people like Gorsuch and Jeff Sessions and Ben Carson and all these people who want to assert that there is a religious law that supersedes civil law. And that is where he is trying to take this whole government. And that's a Bannon thing, too, is that religious law should supersede civil law. And that is, to me, the real
threat. That's the end of America.
Northrop and Andy Hum of Gay USA commented on the Supreme Court confirmation hearings for Judge Neil Gorsuch. You can find their show at gayusatv.org.
Extra, extra, read all about it, extra.
Have you checked our website lately?
For now playing information and behind-the-scenes news about your favorite international LGBT radio show,
log on to
thiswayout.org.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Francis O'Brien and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Special thanks this week to Ann Northrup and Andy Hum and Gay USA TV. David Bowie, The Undisputed Truth, and Kate Smith performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. It's always a good time to log on to thiswayout.org and join the family. And be sure to check out our new video promo for Obama's Rainbow Rain. Look for This Way Out on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KRCC Colorado Springs, Colorado, to YOU Tamworth, New South Wales, WZKW Kingsville, Ohio, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned!